This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to our August 28th, 2011 Jimmy Doan Show.
Hey!
Oh my God.
We're back!
We're back!
Hey.
3.5 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it was the hurricane.
Right, oh yeah.
That stopped us, yeah, I know.
I heard of the earthquake. I heard Obama was calling it Bush's fault.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Yeah, that was, yeah. But I didn't realize that the Washington Monument had cracked.
Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, the top didn't fall off or anything.
No. They said there's a 4-foot crack, I heard.
But, I mean, is it 4 feet wide or 4 feet long?
No, just long.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's big. But, I mean, still, I mean, very apropos, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Well, they said also that the earthquake was caused by the founding fathers spinning in their graves.
Right, exactly. That's right. What I'm talking
about. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, right.
George Washington says, if this way plays out, I'm taking down my monument. Starting at the top.
That's right. That's right. we can have a little boho bondo on it to fix it up. You know,
right. Like that'll fix it up for about 10 minutes. Well, I understand. I do understand as far as the hurricane is he rushed back to Washington to take charge.
Well, it was a perfect opportunity.
Did you see the photo op that he had? I mean, he was there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
On the golf course with his cell phone.
No. He was in the super,
command room,
the bunker,
right.
The FEMA bunker. You know,
oh, yeah.
Ordering people what to do, holding back the tide, telling the hurricane to go the other way,
right.
And so forth. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's,
he hit the heart button to tone it down. Otherwise, it would have been a major disaster.
Yeah, you did notice, of course. What I thought about the hurricane that was funny was. The mainstream media were just praying that, you know, death and destruction would...
Please!
You know,
Tidal
waves, anything. You know, just... It would be like the tsunami from,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was...
A week's worth of news.
Well, I will say, there apparently was a fair amount... You know, there's obviously some destruction on the Outer Islands in North Carolina, but basically, apparently, it kind of wimped out by the time it got to New York.
Yeah.
So...
Well, it's still there.
No, it's still up north of there and everything. I know that, but, I mean, there's flooding, of course, and everything, but... But it's not the Volvos blowing through people's spleens or anything like that.
Right, right.
So, no, that's I just thought it was interesting that this is the first one, you know, kind of like this in quite a while for up there. But it was interesting that the usual talking heads, the big talking heads, the ones that are very important, the multi-million-dollar talking heads, were out there on the shore, you know, with the wind, surf, and everything. Well, the whole place has been evacuated. It's danger, mandatory evacuation. Nobody's here but me and my mobile truck. And, you know, I'm waiting for this wave to show how brave I am standing here. You know, they like nothing better to be blown off the, what you call it. So anyway, we're, as we speak, of course, it's still going on and it's up there too. But I was pleased to see that the hurricane commander in chief had been down there to,
Well, it's a perfect opportunity. I mean, wiped away the economic news for an entire week.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, you couldn't turn on... Well, the talk shows this morning, I think there was one guy on Face the Nation. Everything else was about the hurricane or something. I couldn't believe it. I mean, just...
And it was almost a perfect opportunity with the combination. If the earthquake had been a little bit more destructive and the hurricane as well, you'd have had a great cleanup opportunity. Just an administrative, just carte blanche. Just you could just swoop in and... It would have just been perfect. Obama did this, he did that, he did this.
Right. You know,
he saved Washington, that's right. New York.
Trudging through the wreckage, you know, pointing out.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Pick that up. Oh, not over there. Pick that up.
Exactly.
That's right. You guys go over there and pick that up, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, no, it's just interesting to see how that...
No, it would have been a Dukakis in the tank moment.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been. What's interesting, of course, is today's the 28th, and statistically, hurricane season doesn't peak until the middle of September.
Oh, yeah, it's just kicking it off.
Just kicking it off, that's right. So anyway, we were in luck. We didn't get nothing here in Florida, and it missed us totally. They, you know, one of the early tracks had it actually going into the Gulf of Mexico, you know, when the hurricane was still near Australia, they had a, you know, computer or wherever, off of Africa, they had it, you know, the computer models are so accurate, right? The only time the computer models are accurate is after it's gone by. So anyway,
they're pretty good after that.
Yeah, they're dramatic. So anyway, as I say, there's obviously a lot of flooding. There was a couple of million people, I think, without power and everything. And somebody in New Jersey was saying it might be 2 weeks before they get it back on. And, you know, but the thing that got me about it was, when you think about it, literally 40 years ago, you didn't know when the hurricane was going to show up. I mean, literally, you know, it blew on shore, and you said, oh, it's a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, that explains why there wasn't a lot of coastal residences.
Right. Well, that's right. But, I mean, the point is that it was interesting to watch Bloomberg and Christie and some other people, you know, Obama and everybody else get on and say, well, we want to tell you to get out of the way. It's not like nobody knew. I mean, you know, it's for 5 days, 24/7. I mean, even Fox News or one of them here was, it didn't even say Fox and Friends. It just said hurricane update. I mean, 24/7 they're on. And
I'm thinking, could have been bad. Could have been seriously.
I understand. Yeah. But my point is that it's not like nobody knew.
Well, but
you all just watch the Weather Channel. I wanted to know about the other stuff. You know, the Weather Channel had it. That Weather Channel is a 24/7 Weather Channel. Watch that. And so
they do call it a Weather Channel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm figuring they know something about the weather. They got people there, whatever.
Yeah, we need to get you a Nielsen box, Jimmy.
Huh?
We need to get you a Nielsen rating box.
Oh, yeah,
so
right.
So you can switch off and be like, I'm changing the ratings, man.
Back to channel 12.
Exactly.
Right, oh, as a matter of fact, funny you should mention that. They have been calling
this
me
again. This one box is always
on
channel 12.
It's obviously broken.
Yeah. No, they have.
Nobody watches that channel.
They have been calling me again. I noticed from the...
calling you what?
That's about it. No, I filled out one of their little things one time, maybe twice now. Apparently, I'm on some list. You know, this is the random.
Oh,
I'm one of their random people. Gets called about every 6 months to fill out the paperwork. I'm thinking, wait a minute, random. Okay, that's good enough for me. Anyway, so that's the hurricane. Will, you know, big deal. Oh, well, further what? Councilor Curtis here.
Hey, what's happening, Jim?
And Engineer Eric. There's the three of us today.
By the way, happy birthday, Billy Ann and Josh and Brant.
Yeah.
Yay, Rebecca, Lizzie.
Hmm?
Yeah, we got
a lot of birthdays in the last... Dan, too.
That's right. And we did get a bunch of emails on stuff to talk about from our friend Bart.
Yes. I got a lot of links from him.
I want to talk about something that happened the other night on the Jon Stewart Show.
Which was?
Well, Jon... He said, okay, the problem is, and he's talking about the big problem in the economy. He said, the problem is obviously the debt. And first of all, I think that's inaccurate. But then he went on to say that the way that you could solve the debt is the debt problem is you simply pay it off using the money that the rich people have.
Right.
And of course,
or that they earn, maybe.
Well, no. See, that's another thing that he did. Another mistake that he did was he used the static.
The static thing.
Right. He used a graph.
We take all the rich people's money and pay off the debt.
Well, but because if you look at the graph, and what we're talking about is the static picture of wealth distribution in America.
Looks like a big champagne glass.
Right. And so there is no money in the bottom part of the champagne glass.
So you go where the money is.
Right.
Obviously.
Okay. So what's wrong with that analysis? Dr. Jimmy.
Well, lots of things. Number one, of course, the debt. Debt always is supposed to be paid out over time for openers. So static analysis, no good at all. When you realize that the debt is incurred by all the citizens of the United States, and to the extent that even a child born today is in debt to $44,000, where are they going to get it? You know, the one-year-old.
Well, from the rich. What I'm saying is, what would be the problem if you took all the money from the rich people today, and you gave and you put it on and you paid off the debt.
Well, you couldn't though. There's not enough.
There's not enough.
Well, okay, why?
Because they don't have $14 trillion.
Yeah, the $14 trillion actually, remember now, is owed over time. You can't static it. The $14 trillion is not meant to be paid off in a single shot. What you're counting on is that the rich will earn $14 trillion over the next 20 years or something and pay it off.
Yeah. All right. Well, how much do they earn per year?
Nowhere near that. No. I can tell you, it ain't even a. Well, no, it's not even. It's not even a. Look,
I bet you it's not even.
Wait, we're getting to semantics here. I mean, it's a different thing here. The real bottom line is the spending.
Right. That's what I'm trying
to
get
at. Yeah, you have.
It's not. It's not.
You have to cut the spending, but you have to. In order to save money, you have to not spend it all plus some. It's real simple. Anybody who's at house knows that. You know, you get a paycheck for $2,000. If you spend more than $2,000, you go into debt. If you spend less than $2,000, you save money. End of story.
Right. My point is, if you paid off the debt this year, there'd still be spending next year, and then there'd be a new debt.
A new debt, right. That's
so
exactly right.
So you can't do the static analysis because
you're going to go back into debt.
You're taking all the capital, paid off the debt this year,
right.
And then next year, you'd go back into debt, and right. there'd be no capital to pay it off with.
That's right. Well, they're in the process, of course, right now, of chewing up capital to even spend the money that they spend already. They're chewing up the capital of the United States, because they take, when you realize that a corporation that pays taxes would probably reinvest that money in improvements, new products, and so forth, but instead it gets spent, so that's consumption of what would be capital. Anything that's saved for the future is capital. So if you take that money from the corporations or from people or whoever it is, then that money is not available for future improvements, future better life, and it gets squandered basically today. So that's the consumption of capital. Well, the problem, actually, when you look at it, is that the United States is spending money at a rate that's faster than the profit of the United States, all the individuals in the United States. I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but in any decent, you know, normal, one of the things, you know, you talk about GDP growth since 1776, it averages 3.5-4% a year, compounded, yada, yada, and that's why we are today. But if you don't get that, then the only other place you can get the money to live on is from your
China.
Past savings. You can print it, right. Well, that's what they've done, of course. That's why the dollar is depreciated by 95%. This is all getting really too esoteric, and for this show, without, you know, sitting there with graphs and a couple of graphs anyway. But essentially, it's like, what as I've said before, what I find fascinating is that the people in the government, for some reason, feel that the government can run their lives differently from individuals. And as I've said before, it's as if you look at one person and you say, this person can jump up in the air a foot. And then you get the government together, or you get 100 people together and say, oh, well, since it's a mob, they can jump up 100 feet. Well, no, they can't. I'm sorry. They can still only jump up a foot. I don't care how many people there are. So the point is that the government doesn't operate any differently from individuals, and they act as though they've repealed the laws of economics. Well, they haven't, and any more than you can repeal the law of gravity. And we're going to find out here probably sooner rather than later, I can tell you.
Well, because Greece just has got their little tiny bailout or whatever, right?
Well, they found their double secret probation fund.
Right, right.
I mean, they're super secret. I mean,
which apparently no bank goes off of once they start tapping into that.
Yeah, no, this is they found their apparently, of course, what's beauty about this is the Greeks are in so much trouble. I mean, they're, you know, riding in this. At least the people in the streets recognize the problem. They're out there trying to pelt the, you know, the bureaucrats and everybody to, you know, it's the Greek spring, I guess, is what you'd call it, as opposed to the Arab spring. Anyway, the regulators in the Eurozone have decided to stop short sales.
Yes.
Notice that.
I mean, this is now, and for those of you who are not investors, anybody that wants to buy a stock long, if the stock is all out there, if all the shares that can be bought are out there, let's say, and if you go into the market and you buy a share of, you know, Playboy or Apple or whatever it is, somebody has sold it. And in fact, what you can do is you can actually sell shares that you don't have, because you borrow them from somebody else is what you do. That's called a short sale. And it's a speculator's game. I mean, the fact is that speculators say, look, the price of this stock is going down and I don't own any, but I'm going to go ahead and, quote, sell it, unquote. Mm-hmm. And in the fact that when it does go down, I will be able to make the difference between today's price and the price when it's poor, when it's less. Mm-hmm. They, at least in Italy, France, Spain, and Belgium, have said no more short sales. Well, the problem is that people don't realize is that without speculation, there is no market. Speculators are probably the most valuable
market stability.
Market stability, right? Without speculators, prices would be so volatile you cannot imagine. Can you imagine?
You mean will be?
Yeah, right, will be. I mean, can you imagine if you couldn't hedge, say, for instance, the price of corn, and you didn't know until the day before the corn crop came in that there was no corn crop, or that it was 10 times what it was supposed to be? What you do is 6 months ahead of time, you take a guess, and somebody bets against you. They're short, you know, these are speculators that expect, they've done their analysis, say, well, it's going to rain too much, or it's not going to rain enough, or whatever it is. And they're not actually going to take delivery of the corn, but it affects the price of the corn.
Yeah, they dampen the price.
They dampen the fluctuation. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what speculators do. So if you lift one leg of that, as a dog would do on a high, yeah, that ruins it. So it's
if you ban short sales, you're also banning long sales.
Exactly. That's the whole point. If there are no buyers, then there are no sellers, so to speak, and vice versa. So Anyway, Greece turns out
great for the market.
Apparently, is tapping their super secret top Pentagon. What do you call it? What was the John Belushi movie? The
double top secret probation.
Yeah, what was that movie?
Animal House.
Animal House Fund. Mm-hmm. And and
they took the bar.
That's right. So anyway, the Animal House Fund, right? And so anyway, doomed, of course, to failure. Now they said if once you've tapped into that, now I don't think they've actually tapped into it yet, but I think it's right on the little precipice. But if you think the United States is already Thelma and Louise off the cliff, Greece is like nearing the bottom.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
EJ thinks that you just sell off stuff like the Acropolis and some.
Yeah,
other
no,
like
I'm for that. You know what started all this was the fact that Greece wanted to borrow some more money, and Finland, of all people in the Eurozone, said, we'd like to have a little collateral.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them sort of said, collateral? What's that? No, they've made a promise. It's on this piece of paper.
Right.
And then they said, no. We want their
real mistake.
Piaget watches, right. And want some actual, Greek stuff. You know, right. The Parthenon, or like you say,
the Acropolis,
whatever, the Oracle of Delphi, anything. Mm-hmm. And
Temple of Athena.
And so for about 10 minutes, the other countries went, whoa, what collateral? And then a couple of them said, not a bad idea. Oh, as a matter of fact, maybe we want some collateral too. I mean, they got to know that they're not going to get paid back. The taxpayers are going to take it in the chin. And of course, the what's interesting is that the leaders, it's so interesting when people say Germany does this and France does it. Well, they're talking about the top three or four people there. In Germany, apparently, there's a fairly sort of educated populace there, unlike here, that have the voters that said, wait a minute. That is my money. Mm-hmm. And the markets in Germany tanked for a few minutes when some of this stuff was announced, and then they recovered. The leaders rushed and said, no, that's not exactly what we meant. And so, but the bottom line is, at least in Germany, is that Merkel and her crowd could easily be tossed out. If Germany and even Finland, for gosh sakes, starts to recognize that they're not going to get any of their money back. And as I say, obviously, somebody in Finland said, we just want to make sure we're going to get some of this money back anyway. And that has started to rile the, because they have no collateral, really, when it all is said and done. I mean, other than, like you say, the Parthenon.
Well, apparently they just fixed the Leaning Tower of Pisa so it won't come crashing down.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
they can sell that off.
That's Italy.
I know, that's okay. Italy, but I'm just saying. But Italy's in trouble, too, and so is Spain.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So
anyway, the...
Coliseum, get your Coliseum.
So to finish up on economics, we did hear about a week or so ago, Bernanke came out of Jackson Hole, which is probably appropriate name since the hole where all the money's going, and he didn't say anything. So he said, I'm going to wait until September to give you the non-news.
Right, and I figure that's because...
That's when the FOMC meets.
Right, he's got to meet with them before he's going to...
It's called CYA.
Exactly.
He can't
announce what they're going to do before he tells them what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, of course, there's a couple of rebels in there. There's a couple of rebels in that group. One, two or three people that are going to vote against him. But again, we're all doomed, and unless they take really seriously, it's funny because... The media always calls things draconian, like somebody got one of their hairs cut or something, and they say draconian cuts, like it's the end of the... No, really draconian, to slash 40% of the government or something like that, or a default. Just tell the Chinese and everybody else, we're not going to pay you. Tough. Take your paper and put it on the wall. Mm-hmm. So
called wallpaper.
Yeah, that's right. Good, nice wallpaper. No, so anyway, the bottom line is that nothing has changed. Gold is still, we had a $200 correction, big deal, yeah. And it came back 100. It's still not too late to buy it. Get into it. It's interesting that one of the people that I read, Doug Casey, said that he still goes out on the street and asks people just at random, do you own any gold? And he says about 4% of the people he talks to actually have any gold at all.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
And he says, and basically nobody...
You're talking about like not jewelry, you're talking about like...
No, gold, jewelry,
really?
Everything.
Anything?
Yeah, yeah, anything.
Well, they found $22 billion of it over in India in some temple.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway...
I wonder if that had anything to do with the correction.
Well, you don't know, because the central banks are notoriously inefficient. The Brits and some other central banks, when gold was around $300, dumped a whole shit pot full of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently they started buying it all back. Well, you talk about selling low and buying high. These guys are really classic in that. So anyway, but they started to get a little bit of religion. But still, it's not even a drop in the bucket. If
right.
if people get serious, if any percentage of people in this country decide to go out and own one Krugerrand, the price is going to be $5,000. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's not too late. We're doing well. We're having fun, and we're ahead of the game. Next on the list, I've got are the new raids. There is the map of the lemonade raids, right?
Yes.
Okay, we talked about this last time about the little girl
link to it.
That's right, and they come around and they ticket the crap out of them for selling lemonade because they don't have a permit.
Right.
Permits $50, $100, $200, $300, $400 plus whatever it is, and you know they basically threaten the parents with jail time.
Right.
Oh yeah.
The parents are like, these girls are going to make $6.
Yeah. Right.
And you only need about $180 permit.
Right.
Not,
no,
for
no.
One
on
one shot
no,
deal.
No. Oh yeah. So anyway, a couple of the places have, because of the public outcry, even the police have backed off a little bit and said, well, it's still illegal, but you know, we let you go.
But they started selling donuts as well.
Is that right?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're right. Donuts. Yeah, get away with that. That's right. Free donut with everybody in a uniform gets a free donut. No ticket there, boy. I'll tell you, worth it. That's not certainly wouldn't be a bribe.
Yeah. No.
No, no.
It'd certainly be a time to rob the bank at that point with all the cops
boy,
around.
Boy, that's the truth. So anyway, the next one we've had recently, of course, the lemonade, which has the map with 40 or 50 places across the country where they've raided the little donuts, lemonade stands. This was after the Rawsome Foods raid, which was SWAT team.
Right.
Then another recent raid, which made the national news, was in I think it was in Nashville, Tennessee, was the Gibson guitar.
Yes.
Federal agents swooped in on the Gibson guitar factory this last Wednesday. And there's a fairly extensive article. I mean, you can Google it or whatever on the article. And I forget exactly where it was, who wrote it, whether it was AP or what it was, the Nashville News or whatever. But it's a fairly extensive article about, and the reason, of course, they sent the SWAT team in, understand now, Gibson, there's 500 workers in this factory, recently moved down from a union state to a non-union state, that is from Michigan down to Tennessee. No chance that made any difference. but there are 500 workers in there, and they are now all out of work. And because the federal agents swooped in and they took everything. Let's see. They said in Memphis and Nashville, seizing several pallets of wood, electronic files, and guitars. The feds are keeping mum in a statement said yesterday. But basically, the ostensible reason was rare woods from Madagascar because they didn't have the proper paperwork. Now, one of the things this is like a fret. Or something, you know,
right. A fretboard.
It
could be anything. It could be a bridge. It could be the body of the guitar. It could be
The bodies of the guitar.
Any piece of the guitar is made with sensitive, now protected wood somewhere on earth.
That's right. Now
you can't even cross country lines with the wood. You can't even if it was your own personal git box and you're playing a gig,
they will confiscate it. any piece of it. You could have.
They said if you had the actual documentation that it was manufactured prior to the ban.
Oh, right. Yeah, we always kept that in our ban.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, this is beyond your papers, please. I mean, this is, the guitar's papers, please. It's not enough that you have to have your own. But, speak to the guitar.
Your papers are in order, but your guitar is under arrest.
That's mm-hmm. right. So anyway, they do confiscate them, and you never see it again. But the point is that a lot of this stuff, it's so obvious on its face that it's been grandfathered in, like, a Steinway piano or whatever that was made 100 years ago with ivory keyboard keys. And, well, no, I don't know. They might be recent. What are you talking about, for God's sakes?
They're just doing their job, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. Well, what's interesting about this is, and this is what the Gibson and everybody else that uses rare woods, what a lot of them did, as like with when the liquor thing started, the liquor prohibition came in, what they did before the ban actually took effect was these woods are used sparingly. I mean, it's not like you use 100 pounds per guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is like a couple of ounces.
Decorative wood.
Decorative stuff like that. So they stocked up. I mean, these woods keep forever. That's one of the reasons why a 1760 violin still plays as good as it ever did, because of the woods and so forth that are used in it. The point being that these manufacturers stocked up on this stuff. They've got the stuff on pallets.
Are you saying they have an illegal hoard?
No, no, it's totally, it's totally legal. But the point is that when they make a guitar out of this ancient wood that was before the ban, you know, before humankind was here, whatever, and then I guess they're now supposed to put some, I mean, I don't know how you sign. Mr. Gibson says this wood came from our secret stash or whatever, our public stash. But I mean, that's no good. You'd have, you know, the authorities would still confiscate it, I'm sure, you know, saying that it looks like it might be, you know, Madagascar mahogany or something. And anyway, the point is, they sent a SWAT team.
Mr. Police can tell that right off the bat.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, here's the thing. Here's
like
the thing
Madagascar
about this.
Mahogany.
but it's,
or
it's
a club that I'm going to beat you with here in a minute.
It's not enough to know that the body of your guitar was made of spruce and maple. What's the bridge made of? If it's ebony, do you have the paperwork to show when and where that wood was harvested and when it was made into a bridge? Is the nut holding the strings at the guitar's headstock bone, or could it be ivory? Even if you have no knowledge, despite Herculean efforts to obtain it, that some piece of your guitar, no matter how small, was obtained illegally, you will lose your guitar forever. And you'll be fined $250. So it's just... You know, what has happened is that the guys with the really rare instruments that are, you know, how old they can be, are afraid to cross borders now. I mean, literally afraid to go.
Sure.
Because if they come back, it could be confiscated. I mean, it's just stunning when you realize that of course, you look at the Pete Seeger and people, you know, there's a lot of people that were the Enviro. A lot of times the artists are Enviro people. And there's a little hypocrisy, but it is interesting that the environmentalists now are teaming up against the musicians who have rare woods, you know, and they're in. I love it when when the two wings of the same agency start to duke it out. It's always a few hoots.
Well, so,
they took one of John Lennon's guitar and Charlie Christensen's guitar, and but again, they have a bunch of that stuff in at the front in the little museum we had at Hollywood Guitar Center in Hollywood, you know, stuff like that, Jimi Hendrix's guitar and stuff like that.
Sounds like a concession to me.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. They just smash the windows and just take all that stuff, you know?
Man, I tell you. And
how many of that stuff ends up in the evidence room compared to somebody else's?
Well, of course, they may treat it like marijuana and just burn it.
Right.
Right.
You exactly. Know, that's the best thing to do.
Yeah,
sure.
That's right.
Nobody can have it.
That's right. It's like when somebody finds an eagle feather on the ground. God. Right. It's like cocaine.
Right. Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You don't want to touch it. You know,
no,
you,
hell no.
You don't want to touch that. I mean, you going to jail for that.
Well, I love Gino's comment. I said, get ready for it. Gibson Les Paul in China. Made in China.
Les Paul.
Les Paul.
Wait a minute, Les Paul. China. That's right. And that's one of the reasons why they move overseas. You know, they're not idiots.
Yeah.
People still want to buy these fancy guitars, so that what they do is they just say,
They won't be able to import them back
if
in.
They can't
here.
Make it here.
Can you imagine, you know, you can imagine that the airplane comes over with a boat with 20 tons of cocaine. They let that through. But by God, a guitar come in?
Right.
Yeah. That's it. You're dead. That's it.
So anyway, strip the hull off the ship.
Well, the next thing locally here, and this we've talked about this before because of Justice Sutherland and so forth. The recently here, just I say locally, in northern Georgia, they ticketed.
Well, that's where we are.
Yeah, right. They ticketed a fellow. He had too many vegetables in his garden, in his yard. He had 2 acres. He's got 2 acres.
Did they have seven leaves on it?
Yeah.
No. He raises. He's a tomato. Apparently, he's an organic tomato fanatic. He's done it for years, 15 years or something like that. Well, it's in a residential area, though. I say residential. I mean, it's 2 acres. Let's face it. We're not talking townhouses here. We're talking. Mm-hmm. So he's got this place, and he's been raising vegetables on his about an acre of it for who knows. He gives away a lot of it. They interviewed him on the Fox News, whatever it was, DeKalb, Northern Georgia. So anyway, they ticketed him. And said, the enforcement people came by, the zoning people came by and said, you can't have this many vegetables on your property, you know, right. Whatever this many was. So he stopped.
He was farming.
He was, I guess.
Was,
I don't know.
He was,
well, he was in fact, taking some to the local farmer's market, and he was giving the rest away to the neighbors. But the
aha! Thing,
right. And, well, wait a minute. We're getting there. We're getting there. So in the article.
Home farming, huh?
Home farming, that's right. Well, yeah, affecting the market, right. But it was a county decision to ticket this guy. So anyway, he went down, and apparently it's a small enough community that he got the zoning changed on his property to allow vegetables. Hmm. However, the prosecutor has decided to go ahead and keep up the prosecution because the offense occurred while the zone, while the residential zone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He committed the crime.
He committed the crime, and it was a crime then, even though it's not a crime now.
Right, yeah.
But we're still going to prosecute him.
Yeah, they do that all the time in America. They'll make something legal, and then they won't let out the people who did it when it was illegal. It's
right.
Like, what, you know, if it's illegal, and it's always... It's always the argument about it's an offense to the crown. Well, that's where it comes from. Is, you know, you can't violate the law because that's the law.
Right.
It has its own independent validity, and
right.
And you know, and of course.
No, it's just amazing. The
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, what happened? This article did mention. That this was not exactly a Wickard v. Filburn item, which, of course, we have talked about extensively. And the reason was, of course, it wasn't the feds that swooped in on this guy. It was a local guy. But they did mention at that time something that we're going to talk about, maybe not this time. And I had forgotten about this case. And that was one that our very dear worship friend that we is Justice George Sutherland, who wrote the opinion in a case called Euclid in 1926, in which case he basically sanctioned zoning.
Yeah.
And so they said in this article that this was the slippery slope that now permits, well, here in this town, we probably have 400 different zoning categories. I mean, it's just, you and they're mutually exclusive. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just, so anyway, and they use it as a control thing. As can you imagine this enforcement officer coming up and saying, you have too many vegetables on your land? I mean, what?
Hey, farmer boy.
Yeah, farmer boy, that's it. So anyway, once again, it's
what you're growing out here, huh?
If you find the article, and I forget exactly where it is, it's you have to Google it, I guess, vegetable raid in northern Georgia or something. It was not a newspaper article. It was written by the Freedom Foundation or somebody. But what's great about it is there's like 100 comments, and not one single comment except for the satirical ones. They're all calling this guy, what a bunch of maroons. Have you sincerely lost your mind? I mean, they are just...
Hey, man, you pass a law. As Jimmy Doan has always said, you pass a law, there's going to be a constituency to rise up to protect it.
Well, and the constituency, of course, are the enforcers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's money.
Absolutely.
But I mean, all the comments were calling the enforcers a bunch of maroons. I mean,
but they don't think they are. Neither does the federal government, I'm sure, or the county government in this case. Or,
yeah. You know, or the prosecutor.
Right, the prosecutor.
Prosecutor, I'm just doing my job. Hey, it was illegal then.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, it's still illegal or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see what the judge says. I mean, the judge should just hoot the prosecutor out of...
Well, it goes back to the legal thing about it's an offense to the crown. I mean, it's like the prosecutor's on solid legal ground.
Yeah, well, you can call it solid legal ground if you want, but it violates every tenet of common sense.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right, moving along. I did notice an article. There's some school articles. Education article.
Well, there was one about the kids getting ticketed like crazy.
Right,
in Texas.
Right. Texas students are being ticketed. Now, let me just see if I've got it here.
And they've actually expanded that around. And one of the things I liked in there says, it seems as though if we add more officers to the school, there's more tickets that get written.
Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah, we increased our officer load 36% and tickets increased 50%.
Well, and then that increased safety by 62%, right, or what?
Yeah, right.
In Spring, Texas, in a small courtroom north of Houston, a fourth grader walked up to the bench with his mother. Too short to see the judge, he stood on a stool. He was dressed in a polo shirt and dark slacks on a sweltering summer morning. Guilty, the boy's mother heard him say. He had been part of a scuffle on a school bus. In another generation, he might have received only a scolding from the principal, yada, yada. Get tough policies in U.S. schools in the past two decades have brought many students in contact with the police and the courts.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of a trend some people call the criminalization of student discipline. So anyway, this goes on, and they're talking about thousands of students land in court, fines up to $500. Study shows that 6 in 10 students were suspended or expelled. This is in someplace in Texas.
Well, I used to talk about years ago the administration's effort in a little town that I used to work at defending juveniles. And disruption of a school function was a very common...
Running in charge. The halls, it says here. Carrying a soda.
Well, think about it. Disruption of a school function.
Right.
I mean, that means acting out in class. Or, like you said, running down the halls and some other students look over, they're disrupted. You know, anything you could do that disrupts anything. I mean, anything that distracts them, really, is what it comes down to.
Well, anyway, this fourth grader...
Sword fighting?
Oh, yeah, that'll do.
The fourth grader was ordered to do 8 hours of community service and take classes in anger management and decision making at a total cost of $370. Now, it's certainly not about the money. No, I mean, seriously.
Are services, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know that.
But those are services they're providing that boy at his expense.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, his mother said she's got two more kids, and $400 for her is like it's like the rent.
That's death. Yeah, that's death money. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
that's
what they don't understand.
No.
When they pass this over the legislature, you get a ticket these days. It's a budget breaking offense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now you're going to be on welfare or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. There are so many
foreclosure. For speeding or something.
Yeah, no, really, and you know, God help you that even when the little yellow light and there's no school children there yet, but it's blinking and whatever it is, double triple fine. You know, I mean, it'd be $400-$500 easy.
Yeah.
You know, for 5-10 miles an hour over the speed limit, even if nothing happens. So you know, certainly not about the money. So anyway, the school system, of course, is what I find interesting. We've always talked about this, and it's one of the things that. I was listening to either on Mises.org or or the School Sucks podcast, or maybe it was the Stefan Molyneux interview about school as a prison, which, of course, is becoming more and more of a prison. I mean, we got cops giving out tickets. Give me a break, okay? And you can't leave. I mean, if you leave, you know, it's not like you can get
a
ticket.
If you haven't paid tickets by the time you're 17, you get arrested.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Don't pay the ticket by the time you're 17, you get arrested. So anyway, the what's interesting?
I told you, Jimmy, in the middle schools down here in Florida, in Central Florida, the kids were carrying swipey cards to get into all the rooms with their IDs on them.
Yeah. I talked about this in a very very early Jimmy Doan show. Was my niece invited me to give a talk at her school out in Indio, California,
right.
One time. And
that was a decade ago, too.
No, that was, more than a decade. That's considerably more than a decade ago. And my experience with it, and I told her this, I said, it's literally, if you had a little razor wire around, literally, it even looked like a prison. I mean, it looked like a prison. And they treated the kids like prisoners.
Yeah.
It's just, and you wonder why they don't want to go.
Right.
So anyway, well, so to continue on another thing, as far as the education here locally, I thought this was, again, as always, the last sentence tells you so much in an article. Lachua schools are revamping the cafeteria experience. They're all excited because they're starting to use some healthier meals, is what it boils down to. And let's see what it says here. It says they've got the greasy roasted chicken and wilted salads are in the trash. Now they really tried to upgrade what they do, and apparently some homegrown vegetables that the kids did. They said the kids were involved in revamping what they were eating. Now an item at the high school they're not chicken bowls. They are chicken bowls. They're bowls? No, bowls. Okay. And hamburger sliders and school-grown vegetables. Point is that they're all really happy about this. They said, you know, this is a pilot program. They've repainted the cafeteria to look merrier. They changed all the trays to look happier or something. I don't know. So that instead of being drudgery, they admitted that for the last 50 years it's been drudgery in the cafeteria, scum and everything. But now, 2011, they've upgraded and everything's just peachy. But I thought again was the all breads are whole grain, whole wheat, milk is 1% or less. Even the pizza is healthier, whatever that means. I mean, healthy pizza. Okay. Anyway, the lady here said that she says she's going to keep the students involved with the changes. And she said, quote, it makes sense. Why force food we don't want to eat down our throats? Well, I'm thinking to myself, it's interesting because they force the education down their throats. It's not, I mean, if you don't want to go to the school, your parents go to jail in chains. You are, branded for life. It's just amazing that when they talk about, here's the food, wow, you wouldn't want to force this food down their throats, but it is stunning the amount of other things that get forced down, figuratively speaking, down people's throats, and they don't see the parallel at all. So I thought that last sentence, to me, it brought it home. I would like to go talk to this guy. It was a guy, I'm sorry. and say, now let me ask you this. What other forces do you think, you know, are being forced down people's throats and so forth that we could do away with?
Totally
and
different, Jimmy.
Totally different. No, that's right. And that's when in the School Sucks podcast, the one of them I listened to, they were talking about that. He apparently managed to corner some teacher that had been at a demonstration and for an hour, you know, just did the Socratic method on so forth. And of course she was all over the place. But again, it was like cognitive dissonance. I mean, you know, the teacher, you know, what would we do? I mean, where would the kids go? I mean, without the public school system, and who would take care of them? They would, you know, death and destruction. Yeah, I can't imagine the world without the public school system. Well, you know, 100 years ago, there wasn't one. So
Benjamin Franklin went to work at 11.
Again, when you I'm reading a new book, or actually listening to it. It's a very well-received, highly acclaimed book. I forget the author's name, big famous guy, but it's John Adams. Very highly.
Larry Flint, but go ahead.
No. Yeah, right. Larry Flint. That's right. In collaboration. Yeah. Biography of Larry Flint. Larry Flint.
Larry Flint
with
was right.
With Hugh Hefner. Okay. Yes. No. It wasn't. It's I forget the guy's name, but it's a big fat book. Anyway, I got it on Books on Tape on a bridge, and I'm listening to it. And it's interesting when you talk about education. These guys, when Thomas Paine, for instance, published Common Sense. It sold like over 100,000 copies. It went into like its fourth or fifth printing. It was the rage of New England. You talk about people that were educated. They understood exactly what the hell was going on. The Federalist Papers when they put articles or columns in the Boston Beacon or whatever, everybody read it. Everybody knew what was going on. There was no public education. It was everybody understood what was going on. And I thought I'm only on chapter two of this thing, but
the slaves.
Understand. We're getting to that. Don't worry. We're getting to that part. And in fact, I think he had one or a servant or something. I think whatever it was. But it was interesting because I'm learning a little bit about Abigail Adams. And apparently she was pretty smart. And I don't think, you know, she was like homeschooled reading and writing. And so, but they all spoke Greek, Latin, you know, the whole deal. And a lot of them spoke French and some of them spoke English and everything. So it was Brit, whatever. But it was interesting as they build up, this is still building up to the revolution. But when you think about what these people did, the general journeyman person, the regular work guy, and the regulations that were, and the regulations they rebelled against. I mean, the tea tax, it was like nothing. It was like 2% or something. The stamp tax, they had to repeal it. I mean, on and on. And you look at this, this is stuff that when the king would want to suck off 1% or 2%, open rebellion. And now, you know, now everybody's... At 40%, you're saying, well, I think that's a little too much. So anyway, it's a good book. And I'm also reading Bureaucracy, again, finally by Ludwig. And another book I'm going to give you, which I'm not sure it's going to be any good, but it's called Adventures in Legal Land, which I forget where I got it from. But that's talking about how a lot of the stuff that happens in courts is not all that legal. And just because the judge says it is, you know, doesn't necessarily make it.
Yes, huh?
So anyway, that's pretty much my list. I'm ready for you guys to chime in.
You got a light note?
Yeah.
We have a bunch of them.
Yeah, because I haven't had a lot of light notes recently. Well, I mean, I did like the fact that UFO sightings were increased over 67% recently, which was kind of
really cool. Where?
All over.
Really? No nexus. No.
This is in the past 3 years, and this is all over. And no, it's basically
Klaatu Barato Nikto?
It's MUFON, which is the largest privately funded UFO research organization in the world, that this guy, he sits down at his phone like 24 hours a day. He goes, we've been averaging 500 sightings a month compared to 300 3 years ago. And he's got all this more...
Where are the videos of all this? Where's the scrap metal?
They had a good video in the England one. Did they debunk that one?
I didn't see him debunk. I saw one person that looked like it got debunked, but then another guy came back and it says that
undebunked it.
Yeah, because of the fact that
I
digital
saw that
chip
too, yeah.
Actually has a ghosting effect on it, one thing. So, but it was pretty convincing. No, you just gotta look for it. But you're right. I mean, there has been some stuff. I mean, the Army Golden Knights did a nighttime parachute jump in Kansas, and it looked, you know, like kind of suspicious. But again, I don't like. When things are just slowly moving around or drifting in the wind or whatever, that's not a UFO sighting to me. It's the, you know, like the Japan Airlines, when the thing was three times or four times the size of the 747 that was tracked on radar and goes shooting, you know, 12 miles in 6 seconds, and, you know, all around them and stuff, and they've, you know, you got two different radar people, and then...
Where's the cell phone camera when you're looking for one?
Yeah, this was an earlier one, but anyway, we'll hopefully get some stuff. So I'm just saying, you know, keep your eyes to the skies, you know, whatever. All good there. Let's see, a hypnotist basically had a... passed out during a show, leaving three people in trance.
Ah!
Hypnotist injury leaves three in trance. He fell down and hit his head, and he passed out, and they had to stop the show until he woke up.
I guess.
Actually, they will drift to sleep and then wake up. But that's,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about if you have... there was a show on, which one of my favorite new shows is called The Mentalist, and he's apparently a really, really good hypnotist. You know, he's as good as any of many. But apparently...
Is that a current show?
Yeah.
Mm. I've been watching Alpha's Warehouse 13.
Yeah, Alpha's, I watched it once, big deal. You know, too much X-Men for me. But the Mentalist is this guy. He's Patrick Jane, whatever. But he, apparently somebody else had put somebody into a very strong post-hypnotic suggestion,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't get him out of it without the guy, without the key,
right.
Whatever the... I mean, it was like...
I mean, eventually they will still go to sleep. But, I mean, yeah, you can throw a post-hypnotic on somebody.
I mean, this was like weeks later. That, you know, it was like it was one of these trigger things where, you know, it was like the Manchurian Candidate or something.
Right.
You know, you call up and you hear the whistle. But the problem was they couldn't find the guy that whatever the turnoff whistle was.
Right.
They apparently, you couldn't, you know, snap your fingers, tap him on the shoulder or whatever it is and get him out of it. He kept doing whatever it was.
Right. Well, I love that. That's one of my favorite movies, Office Space. Where the main guy gets hypnotized and the hypnotist dies and right at the thing he says, you know, do what you want to do, you know, and then the guy starts doing whatever he wants to do and he rockets right up through the chain of command to, you know, CEO of the company and all this stuff. And it's a hilarious movie if you haven't seen it yet, but
I've seen it.
You got to get a stapler.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not the one where at the end with the place burns down.
Yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
no. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, no, that's... Oh, that is... Now, the guy that's the phony phony manager that keeps coming in and say, oh, that's fine. You know,
right,
they keep
right,
moving that guy around.
Right,
from
right, right.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
let's see what else I got here. Anything? A teen with rare condition could die from brushing her hair. Basically, it's if she... This teen girl in Scotland, she's got a medically rare condition that if she builds up static electricity by brushing her hair, it could actually kill her.
That's why you keep it wet.
Yes, you should, you know. Elton John has a new baby.
Say what?
Elton John and David Furnish wanted a baby. They had their sperm mixed together and a surrogate mother was artificially inseminated and the baby was born, blah, 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 and now the baby is called Zachary.
Okay, but it's still only, even if they had the sperm mixed together, that's still one of them.
You're probably more than likely. That's what I would say. They were just doing the Russian roulette there, I guess, you know.
Russian roulette. That's, I don't know. We could probably think of a better name for it than that.
I don't know. There's, Curtis, you sent me this one thing about the planet made out of diamonds.
Yes.
That was kind of cool.
My God. I mean, you know, it is like daily they are finding stuff that is stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 500 light years away or whatever, and they can't figure it out. It's like, what is it? It's like within about a mile and a half of the sun or something. It goes around it about every, 16 hours or 16 days or something?
Right.
And they figured out it's such compressed carbon that it's probably just this giant moon-sized diamond.
Diamond, right.
Give that to Liz Taylor.
Yeah, you know, it's getting that thing here was expensive. But boy, you should have seen the fixture or whatever they had, the setting.
Yeah, right.
You know, wow, that was a big time deal.
Try and carve that baby up.
Yeah, exactly.
You, what do you suppose that would do to the price of regular diamonds?
well, you know, that's all I got. I guess we can. Oh, Ron Jeremy has a new rum. Not sure I really want to taste that, but I wonder if he added his own secret ingredient there.
Whoa! Yeah, don't go, no.
Laughing every time somebody buys a bottle of that.
That's exactly. It, okay.
And Star Wars, I guess we talked about that. They're going to come up with some deleted scenes.
Really?
On the Blu-ray thing.
You know, they're going to do a prequel, they don't know yet, but a prequel or a sequel to Blade Runner.
Oh, really?
Ridley's going to do it, too.
He's going to
do the director. And I don't know if they're going to use all the same people or whatever, but they... Well, obviously, if it's a prequel, they're not using Harrison Ford,
right.
They haven't, but the word is out.
A little older in this first one than you did in the second one.
That's right. No, it's no, it's been. Of course, I've seen the on TV now. Of course, it's funny. They showed the director's cut, but they said edited for content. And I'm thinking, wait a minute now, that's not right. No, anyway, I got the DVD from Netflix or whatever, and it's all pretty dark. But anyways, that reminds me of how long it took to get the original Star Trek movie. You know, it was like decades or something before it showed up, even after all the fans went nuts.
Right, know? Right, right.
So anyway,
well, they're coming up with some stuff, and CC's going to be in a new movie here. Maybe.
Yeah, a zombie movie.
Zombie movie, of course.
We'll put a link to it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's like, well, you were supposed to be filming tonight down here at a pub, and I figured I was asking you. I said, well, you mean you're going to be sitting in there while a bunch of zombies come crashing through and destroy the place?
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
Like, no, it's more like a little personal interview. So anyway. Well, that's all I got, I guess, for right now. So we'll mix this thing up and get it posted, huh?
All right, yeah. I'm trying to look to see. Somebody sent me light notes, and I thought I'd bring them all out, but no.
Well, there's nothing happening. You know, you got Momar. He's hitting the dust. You got
Hugo.
Mubar.
Hugo's decided to get all his gold back in, just in time for his cancer treatment.
Right. And Mubarak's having a great time.
Yeah, well, he's on the thing. And, of course, they still haven't found Libyan what's-his-Qaddafi.
Right.
They haven't actually found him yet, apparently.
Right. And Assad is doing well?
Well, yeah, he's murdered a bunch of his people in order to save the country. I love that when the tanks are turned on the citizens, you know, you kind of wonder.
He's saving them.
Yeah, he's saving them, all right.
Oh, yeah, and Obama bought three $1.1 million buses for a 3-day trip.
No, I understood he rented them.
Oh, did he?
I understood they were rented.
Okay.
They were made in Canada?
Yeah.
They were rented, right.
Okay.
The other nice thing, of course, about the nice carbon footprint, I thought he drove all over the... But apparently, they load them on the
C-5s
or whatever, and then fly them from place to place.
Speaking of Premier's driving, Bart sent us that one thing about the Lithuanian mayor who drove over the illegally parked cars.
Yeah, in a tank or something.
Really?
I didn't think that was such a hot idea. I thought that was a little Lithuanian of him. I mean, I wouldn't like
that. A little Lithuanian of him.
You know, I've said in the past.
I just thought it was funny.
Well,
I mean, I didn't commenting on the propriety of it.
I look at it. I've always said this, that one of the things that they have here, they've raised the fines on staying in a fire zone in front of the stores here to like $150 if you park there, even if you stop there, even if you're in the car with the running, they can give you a ticket. And I've always said, you know, wait a minute, if I see a fire truck coming here and flames leaping out of the store, I think I have enough.
You're gonna dive out of your car.
Move. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, the other thing is, we're talking about a 40-ton fire truck. Now, even if the car is glued, super glued to the pavement,
right,
the fire truck can move the car out of the way.
No problem.
So I would say there should be no fines for that at all, I mean, personally.
Right. So. Yeah. No, but, you know, but maybe you couldn't sue the city for bumper damage or something.
No, look, you wait till it happens. That's what you do with
cars. That's exactly right. You wait till
it happens. There's no need for any driving. It's true. You can preempt the hell out of everything. There's no need for any driving.
Well, we have a basic philosophy here in this town, and that is, if we can dream up something that might go wrong,
we're
passing a law against it.
Oh, yeah.
And everything around it.
That's it. The goldfish and eating goldfish.
That's it. Yeah, eating goldfish. That's right.
Yeah.
That happens all the time, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an epidemic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's epidemic.
If they hadn't passed the law.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. There would be no goldfish in Gainesville.
I remember the Goldfish Eaters Anonymous parties that I used to go to.
Oh, my God.
I was up to 10 a day, and I had to cut my habit. You know,
that's
they get
right.
expensive. You know,
always fishing in the koi pond.
Right. I was going broke. For God's
right.
sakes, it's an addiction.
Right.
Yeah. And again, they you can only buy four at a time. You know.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, place,
they're behind the counter now.
Right. Right.
And
that's
then we
right.
drove
yeah.
the Japanese
behind the counter.
Yeah. No, yeah. You go in and you have to sidle up there. You know, with your shades on, your hat pulled down over your head.
Right.
Do you have any goldfish?
They see you coming, man.
And of course, if you do have too many on you, if you have too many on, like say you're wearing this big overcoat and you got
distribution.
Like, and you got like bags and stuff.
Right.
Well, that's the beauty of it is they can tell if you've been carrying goldfish after when they shoot you.
Uh-huh.
If it leaks water and goldfish, then you weren't carrying it.
Yeah, and like Eric said, that's automatic distribution charge.
Yeah, that's,
you're
gonna
right. get it.
Whoa, that's you're going to jail for that.
Yeah.
All right,
you guys, have fun.
Yep, see
talk to you soon.
Hey, 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 hey. And then I said, whoops, there it is.